Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Carla Lundblad, clinical therapist specializing in sports and celebrity psychologies. Carla has been consulting with athletes, jury trial attorneys, and performers since 2006. Athletes, teams, and coaches of all ages, all ability levels, and from all different sports have sought her services. She has also worked with performing artists, and Carla has given numerous regional presentations at professional conferences and has been a guest speaker at several coaching clinics throughout the U.S. You can see pictures of some of the things that she gets up to on Facebook. Connect with her on Facebook. It's pretty fascinating. She is currently the subject matter expert and chief lecturer for the successful interplay between professional sports careers and sports psychology, a clinical perspective of winning, combination, and psychodrama, creativity, and the training of jury trial attorneys. If I'm stuttering, it's because I just got my first cup of coffee, and I don't have enough caffeine going. I really only drink coffee in the winter, and I'm ready, so come bear with me here today. So who better today to talk with about the Michael Jackson wrongful death case and the awful Penn State sex abuse scandal? So good morning, Carla, and I'm so glad to have you back in the show.
Oh, good morning, Denise. I'm so glad to be back. Some interesting things to talk about today, for sure.
I know. Well, listen, I am going to just let you start commenting because, you know, as we were chatting earlier, I know very little about the Michael Jackson case. I know a bit more about the Penn State thing because I work with an awful lot of athletes and, you know, fitness trainers, so I move around in that world quite easily. They're both horrifying stories.
Well, so, I'm sorry to speak over you there. They're both horrifying stories to some degrees with some similarities. And with my work with professional athletes as well as celebrities, sometimes these traumatic events are part of a past, part of a coaching past, and may happen from people who are involved within a gifted individual's life. Usually a gifted individual begins with their gift when they're young and will have a wide variety of coaches throughout, you know, developing themselves as a professional athlete, which can be the end result, or a celebrity, a performer of some kind. And so I think even in my interview last week with John Hansen, which I had alluded to the fact that there are traumatic events that really do need to be recovered from, you know, for everybody, individuals, but this also definitely pertains to professional athletes and celebrities. So this is, you know, part of the work that I do as a clinical therapist when I look at the individual as a whole. And unfortunately, this particular issue, child abuse, whether it's physical abuse or sex abuse, I hate to use the term sex related to sex abuse because it is a violent act, and I don't think we should lose sight of that fact. So this is part of the work that I do, and there is successful recovery. Something to consider, too, is that when these events are, these past traumatic events have happened, the sooner we dive into it, purge it, work through it, then we also prevent post-traumatic stress, which can be a secondary disorder that affects a young person from the time they're 18, 19, 20. We can prevent 20 years of maybe some bad choices being made, some family issues that can happen along the way as they go on to become parents and spouses. And so what I see is the real value of dealing with these issues right in the beginning and dealing with them effectively so that they can be moved through. There is a very happy life on the other side of that. There is no reason to suffer in the darkness and in the private.
Well, I know that there's a lot of things that go on with some of these very talented people. I'm just giving an example, and I watch very little TV, and I know why I watch very little, because most of it's disgusting. But I was in my kitchen. It is. Just one person's opinion. But, you know, I was in my kitchen the other night, and, you know, my floor plan is wide open, so my kitchen, living room, dining room, the only thing that separates all of that is columns and ceiling heights and architectural details. It's in essence one large room, which I really like. So I was in the kitchen, turned around, and, you know, had the TV on just for background noise. And I saw, I think it's called Toddlers and Tiaras. I almost threw up.
Yeah.
Literally. Carla, you should have seen me. I'm standing at my kitchen with a knife in my hand, upraised, because I think I was turning around to put it in the sink. And I was frozen. I was watching these mothers, and had I been in the room with one of us would have gone to jail. And
yeah,
it would have been me. So it's just, and I know that has nothing to do with athletes, but that has to be traumatic for those kids to have their mothers just screaming at them. I don't know. I was really appalled. So does that kind of work into what happens to these kids?
Well, you know, I think there's an environment and an automatic assumption that when a child is very gifted in one particular area of their life, you know, athletics, for example,
mm-hmm.
I think there's this idea that they are then overly mature in other areas of their life. And, in fact, the opposite can easily be true.
Mm-hmm.
They spend so much time perfecting a gift that they may even have their own desire to perfect that gift, regardless of
okay.
the parents pushing them or not. But a lot of time spent on that gift means that there's less time spent on normal development as a child develops. And as we've seen, I think, with many celebrities that began their celebrity career as children, there has been some significant normal development that as a human being we all require to function normally and to graduate hopefully seamlessly to adulthood. And if we don't get that, then we suffer. And sometimes
right.
the thing that can be stunting development can be a private secret that this young athlete or young celebrity is keeping and not sharing with anyone else. And sometimes that secret can be abuse that they have suffered.
Mm. How do you, what is the step to help these kids when they're young? I mean, what should happen with these children?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. I think sometimes, you know, parents and coaches may see symptoms of things. Maybe, you know, lack of attention. Maybe the teen athlete has begun to exhibit some behavior that's not common for them. Maybe they're experimenting with drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Taking some risky behaviors that they may not have been doing before. Oftentimes, the parents and the coaches, because they are an athlete specifically, may view that as they're getting too confident, they're getting too spoiled, they have too much of a, they get too much preferential treatment. And actually, quite the opposite could have happened to them, and they're exhibiting these symptoms based on a core situation that may have happened to them early on or pretty recently. I think people have this idea that once children reach teen years, that they are no longer susceptible to sex abuse, and nothing
mm-hmm.
could be further from the truth.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is that, Carla? Is it because they just don't know that they can speak up, or they're ashamed to speak up, or have they just been conditioned to think it's just going to happen no matter what?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think when, especially in athletics, understanding the environment where, you know, a child will usually hear from their parent as their parents leave in the field, listen to your coach, do what your coach says. And so what happens, especially in athletics, and maybe we've seen that with the Penn State situation, there's kind of a conditioning within the environment to follow a hierarchy, and sometimes there's the question as to whether the hierarchy is going to make the best choices. And so an athlete is conditioned to be a very gifted recipient of coaching, but sometimes they're coached to the level that they are supposed to accept what comes from a coach, regardless of what that might be. And so I think we're forgetting the main ingredient in the coaching, and that is that individual child's development. The coaching that they receive and the coaches involved within their lives are secondary to that primary individual who is an athlete, number one, but that is one facet of who they are as a person, but also balancing and well-rounding that entire individual with normal real-life development along the way.
Goodness. What do you do when these kids come to you? I know that you have the Lundblad 10 mode. How do you help them, and how does the Lundblad 10 help these children?
Well, you know, that's a really great question, Denise, because the Lundblad 10 was originally designed for athletes in their professional careers, usually once they've hit their pro career, and to make some specific decisions, specifically in their 20s, about the kinds of decisions that they're going to make that affect their lives in retirement. And oftentimes retirement can happen when they're 35, 40, you know, somewhere around there. So because of this situation and because of professional athletes and celebrities as adults that I've worked with, I developed something called the Lundblad Safety 4. And I felt it was really important to understand some of the warning signs and help prevent athletic coach sex abuse.
Wow.
So, go ahead.
I'm almost speechless, you know, looking at some of this stuff going on with Penn State. I think it has taken the nation as a whole just completely back, and it's such a sad story. And, of course, there's a lot of hype, and, you know, there's going to be accusations flung around, and it will be hard to distill it down to, you know, the raw truth. None of that really matters. It is a hideously ugly story.
Yes, it is.
And I, you know, my heart just breaks for everybody involved except, you know, the one who may have done this. And I hope there's a special place in hell for him.
Agreed. And there are many people that have that feeling.
You
know, I think it's important when somebody has a gifted child, a child that has a special gift that requires coaching over time, you know, that child will have a lot of coaches during their childhood and during their teenage years. And unfortunately, a negative part of that is this means that they have a lot more direct contact with a larger number of adults. And this drastically increases the likelihood that they may encounter a coach pedophile along the way.
Oh, Lord.
So,
are parents aware of this, Carla? I mean, is there anything in place, or are you working to structure something that will kind of help? And you mentioned the Lundblad 4. We'll go back to that in a second, but are there any programs out there, and I use the word programs loosely, I don't really like the word programs, to be honest with you, but is there any way of disseminating information to parents that there are things to look out for and that these are the dangers?
Well, I think, you know, the sports environment, I think, is probably the last area where we really haven't talked about sex abuse that happens within culture. There was a time that we didn't talk about that in churches, the Catholic
churches
especially.
Right.
And now that's a very commonplace discussion, and parents are, you know, providing safety for their children and are aware how to do that so that that environment is more safe and, you know, their children are safer. Sports is that last area that we have not talked about that, and I think with the Penn State situation, we're now seeing in a very glaring way that this is an area that we need to talk about. You know, something else to consider is, you know, a coach truly understands that they have a power over a child in really huge ways. And in ways that affect the child's future with college opportunities and even their future career. And most other power differentials between adults and children are not this expansive. So that child will feel that pressure of that control that can be more broad in the sports environment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It absolutely does. And you're talking about, you know, pedophilia and Catholicism. That scandal, Father Gauthier, that happened here where I live.
Right.
And I remember that, and people were just so shocked and appalled. And then at the other side of it, people saying, well, yeah, but we already knew it. Well, which is it? Are you shocked and appalled, or why didn't you do something about it? So I remember being very, very confused about it. But I do understand where you're going with that, because, you know, we witnessed it firsthand down here in Southwest Louisiana. It is a shocking thing, but then again, it really wasn't. Because
right.
These priests, like coaches, have an inordinate amount of time with these kids. And, you know, I mean, they're a priest. How do you say no to a priest, for crying out loud?
Well, we know how to do that now.
And
I really, you know, as I've said before, anybody who walks in my door into my practice and takes advantage of the specialized coaching that I provide mm-hmm. in multiple areas, they're a warrior to start with. And when I look at grown people who have come forward and talked about sexual abuses that have happened in their past, I don't know if there's any greater warrior we have or role mm-hmm. model that we have, because they're not only protecting themselves in a way that's really, really positive, but they're protecting others. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's no more noble act than that. And so I commend those people for coming forward. I have had the pleasure of working in litigation boot camps. I also train trial attorneys. And one really great thing about trial attorneys is they're wonderful advocates for people who are victims of some pretty heinous situations. And I have trained along the likes of Milton Grimes, who was Rodney King's attorney, and mm-hmm. The gentleman that I've worked with who asked me to help as part of his cause was one of the folks that actually changed law and had won a successful sex abuse case against the Catholic Church. So as I take what I've learned in this environment forward, there are the safety four tips, Lundblade safety four tips, that I think every parent needs to be aware of. And the first tip is, don't ever concede your parental authority to any coach. Always mm-hmm. stay involved. The coach often grooms the parents to trust the coach before grooming the child for sex and sex abuse.
Again, like the Catholic priests, same
yeah.
thing. Yeah. And what's the next one? I mean, this is fascinating to me. And you know, you'll need to tell people where they can reach you. But what is number two?
The coach will send gifts to build rapport with the child and the parents. Do not mm-hmm. accept and return all gifts.
Wow. That's got to be tough for parents to do, because they're flattered, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And
but they
a
don't
coach
recognize
who,
what's happening.
Right. A coach who is attempting to abuse their authority, that's what they're trying to do. It's through the parents that they're going to create a relationship. Number mm-hmm. three, you're going to be very interested in this. The coach may give illegal items, such as alcohol or drugs, and wait to see if the player tells anyone.
What?
If
now I'm having to puzzle through that one.
Oftentimes, even minors are given alcohol to help in the situation, to create a situation where there can be sexual abuse.
But, Carla, I guess I'm too logical to understand why they would do that. I mean, if a coach is giving a minor, you know, drugs or alcohol, they've got to know. I mean, there's a huge risk that that kid is going to say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, you know, hey, best friend, and it's going to get out. Why? That's very risky, isn't it?
It would seem that way on the surface, but in actuality, most teens experiment with drugs and alcohol.
Oh,
so it's almost,
okay.
Especially within the teenage years, it's almost a rite of passage, or at least the child, the teenager, views it as that. Wow, they think I'm more of an adult.
Right,
know?
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So especially with teen sex abuse, a coach may start with something like that, and then if they do not hear a report about anything, then they may move forward with their plan to sexually abuse that minor.
Good Lord. Okay. My coffee is not going to settle down. I can see this.
I know. And the fourth tip is always ask questions. If it doesn't feel right, it isn't. And something to really consider for parents who have a gifted athlete, who want the best for their athlete, who are trying to create the best opportunity for that athlete to showcase. If your athlete truly has the ability to take them to the next levels, there will be more than one coach that's involved in showing an interest in your child. So be very clear on that. If you have one coach that is specifically showing an interest, expressing to you that they can help you make the next levels, and it is only one coach, be aware of that. And that is one of those things to ask questions about.
Right, right. So basically, if there's just one coach involved, you know that maybe your child is necessarily not being exposed to the proper coaches, or they're just not as good as this coach is saying they are, perhaps?
Or they're being targeted.
They're being targeted. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, what is your view of what is going on with Penn State? Do you have any idea yet how this will shake out?
Well, you know, it's at this point, you know, in the field that I am, there's much I look at through a clinical psychologist perspective. You know, even when we had opened originally, we were going to talk about the Michael Jackson wrongful death case.
Right.
What happened in the situation with Dr. Conrad. And I think, you know, clearly these two situations have some themes. There's early physical and, you know, sex abuse. There is a lot of denial by people who are around in the situation and no psychological support or education along the way. And I think that's the thing that I find most troubling in both of these situations. We have 60 years of research to understand where psychology is scientific and beneficial for individuals, not only in the negative traumatic ways that we're affected in our lives, but in very positive ways of helping us create our dreams, find happiness. We have to learn how to be happy. It's not something we're born into. And so to see both in those areas of entertainment and in sports that there is not a focus to proactively learn psychological, you know, ways to benefit through these extreme lifestyles. Because sports, professional sports is now, you know, sports entertainment. And the celebrity industry has been entertainment for a very long time. It is a very high-pressure, specialized lifestyle. And that lifestyle, it becomes very critical to manage all facets of your life.
Well, I know that we had talked earlier about, you know, basically just surviving celebrity, whether you're an athlete or whether you're Michael Jackson, the Michael Jackson family, with your poor little goofy Lindsay Lohan. These meltdowns seem to be coming hard, fast, and furious, and they're pretty massive meltdowns. And I'm familiar with the Lundblad 10. Can you explain how any of these people, all of these people, could be helped by the Lundblad 10, because I think it's important. I mean, some of these people, you look at them and just go, you just want to go, oh. With Lindsay Lohan, frankly, I just want to stick her in a bathtub. I mean, she just looks dirty and grubby all the time, and she's a beautiful little girl, but what a mess.
Well,
how do you help these people?
Great question, Denise, great question. You know, when we see somebody that we view is acting out, has maybe choosing harmful behaviors or harmful activities, we have to realize that there is always a reason.
Mm-hmm.
What we might be seeing is the reason, or what we might be seeing is a symptom of a deeper reason. And we can always find what that cause is. And I think there needs to be a priority to do that and to accept that. We can't lose sight of that. And no matter who the person is or what they have accomplished, they are a very real person. They've experienced some very positive, wonderful things in their life that make them a unique individual, and they've experienced some unique traumas that have also added to who they are uniquely. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to focus on that as we focus on coaching for athletic ability, coaching for music ability. We need to focus on coaching the individual to handle these kinds of stresses. What began my work was when I discovered that over 75% of professional athletes and celebrities end up bankrupt. They end up jobless, not able to get jobs, and they end up with divorce at the end of their careers. And so those statistics are drastically different than statistics that we find in, you know, in our mainstream. So I started looking at that, and I started trying to isolate what that is. So I went to the research, and I found what I felt was a population that was drastically underserved, because any time you have this specialized celebrity lifestyle and you run across an issue like sex abuse, the treatment of that issue for that individual who is celebrity becomes a special situation. And that special situation requires some specialized counseling, specialized help. And it's important that that person is respected as an individual and that their privacy is completely respected. Well, as we know, for a celebrity, one of the first things they're going to be worried about is keeping their private life private, especially as they're working through a traumatic event.
Right.
And I think they have that right to expect that. And I think they should be able to seek out services to find that.
I agree, and I really genuinely do not understand, and I'm not a celebrity watcher by any stretch of the imagination. I come across them in the normal course of events, and I go, ooh, or aw, or aw. My reaction is always a little bit varied. It's never a happy one. It's always like, oh, poor schmuck. But, you know, the common thing that I tend to see is, well, you know, they're a public person. They have no right to privacy. Paparazzi is allowed to stalk them and stop them in their cars, and I violently disagree with all of that. I just don't agree that you have to have cameras in somebody's face all the time because they're a public person. I mean, to me, that would be incredibly traumatizing.
Exactly, and that's, you know, somebody who makes a conscious choice to become a celebrity is making a conscious choice to step into a lifestyle that is very unique.
I bet.
So they're also,
I can't imagine living like that.
And we've seen that if the individual person behind the gift is not supported, many horrible things can go wrong.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and I said, well, how about we front load the professional athlete in the making and the celebrity in the making with proactive educational ways to make good decisions as these issues come up in their career. And that's where my work found me. That's where my practice found me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm sought out for. So I'm happy to provide the services, and it's very, very meaningful work.
Well, and that makes perfect sense. I mean, like you say, these are unique people living in a unique life. In some ways it's a fishbowl, in other ways it's probably lonely, would be my guess. And they're not taught, some of them are maybe poorly educated or didn't make it all the way through high school working from a young age. And this is not the kind of thing that's taught in an economics class in high school anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of sink or swim for these poor guys, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think from the outside looking in, you know, people say, well, you've got the best of everything. You've got the best of that a material world can offer. But oftentimes what's traded for that is you lose a lot of your emotional world and your personal world. And there are ways to shore that up that are essential, especially that even affect your career and the longevity of your ability to stay within your career. And so you know, that's where my practice was born. I think a lot of great opportunities come from volunteerism, as we talked about before. And that's where my work found me. And especially in light of the Penn State sex abuse scandal, this work is so important. This work is so important for the young people so they can focus on themselves, their gift, and how they're going to get to where they want to go.
Well, just because I know that this gets listened to a lot and it's going to be downloaded into iTunes, and there are an awful lot of aspiring athletes, an awful lot of aspiring singers and dancers and, you know, people who just want to be out there in the public and show off their gifts and share their gifts, and they all have parents. So can you speak directly to the parents right now and just say, listen, here are some of the things that you may want to pay close attention to. Here are some of the warning signs, and I know you've covered a little bit of that. And here are some of the things that you really must have in place in your child's life to ensure that your child is protected, safe, and grows up knowing that, you know, everything is going to be okay.
You know,
which
that's
a great tall order, but can you do that? What can you
well, actually, you know, it's funny, Denise, because you're not the first one to order that or ask for that.
Okay,
I jokingly laugh.
It's like the drive-thru window. Can you tell parents?
Yeah, like a number five.
Yeah. And I realize it's a very tall order, but do what you can.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you're not the first one to ask that. I laugh because I am the reluctant author. And so I am on extreme deadline for a book right now, and it will be released in January of 2012. It's called Hollywood Celebrity and Other Lies, 50 Ultimate Success Tips.
Wow.
And how I'm putting this book together is because of the requests that are happening. It's almost a hand-to-hand, quick reference combat guide of how to negotiate these environments and avoid the pitfalls. Also to create some performance improvement and how to streamline the gift. And so one of the areas that I talk about the Lundblad 10, you know, avoiding the negative pitfalls that oftentimes can be financial pitfalls when, you know, young celebrities are older in their 20s and 30s. You know, I talk about there's Lundblad surviving celebrity system involved in there. And then there's also safety tips for parents, because this is a book that's going to be great for performance enhancement and performance focus for the athlete. They can throw it in their bag. They can get some immediate coaching on what's going on for them right then. If they're going through a mental block at that particular moment, they can turn to that page and go, oh, yeah, this is what we talked about. Oh, yeah, this is what I was going to say to myself and help get them in the zone.
Right.
That's really important. But also what's important is to understand the environment as a whole, and it's very important to understand that at a young age, like 17, 18, and 19. So parents will find this book very helpful, too, because it will help them give some good coaching to their young athletes as they are making career choices at 17, 18, and 19 years old.
Well, that makes sense. Now, is there going to be an audio version?
Wow, another tall order.
Well, I'm known for that. You were warned earlier. But,
you know go ahead.
I think it would be a great idea to have it because, you know, kids are on the go all the time. Parents are on the go. I love to read. I'm a voracious reader, but I also learn by listening. And I listen to audiobooks all the time, not novels, and I don't want any bodice rippers, but I'm a book like yours, I would love to hear it. You know, because that way I could absorb it while I'm doing something else, while I'm working.
Well, you know, this is the information age, and I'm finding that, you know, information, especially for young people, does need to come in a multitude of, you know, dusty old books.
Right.
Do it for everybody. You know, I'm really happy that we are at the information age that we are, because so many kids now can access information for themselves. You know, that's really beneficial. I'm sure this will morph into different areas, especially as there's a desire for it and a need for it.
Right.
You know, it's just such important training. I think they're really, at this point, it's time for a paradigm shift. When we look at the hierarchy of the relationship, especially in sports, I think we start with the coach right now. And then the child, and then the parents. That's kind of how I see it. And
really?
Then the parents, I think we need to realize that it starts with the child, then the parents. The parents help make decisions with their child. And then the coaches fall in under that. And the parents and child together make decisions about which coaches they're going to allow in their lives, which opportunities they're going to look at. And I think there's been kind of the old school belief that let's listen to the coach. Whatever the coach says, that's the direction
you're
going to go. There's almost a powerlessness in you know, for parents as they're trying to advise their children. And, you know, they're right. I think they see that it is a different environment that they don't have any experience in. And
how could they?
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you, you know, from my perspective, you know, as we've talked about before, my husband was a professional baseball player and practices sports law and personal injury law. And there is a a unique vantage point that we have being inside the business looking out. And that is a vantage point that I do know for parents who are trying to get the best opportunities for their young athletes. They're not able to see the business on a whole from that vantage point. So it's a vantage point that I love to provide, because I think that's when parents and when great coaches look and go, ah, that makes sense. And this answers a problem that we've been seeing within, you know, within the machinery, you know, sport. So.
Well, you know what concerns me about this Penn State thing? As with, you know, the Catholic Church, once they uncovered one pedophile priest, I mean, stories started popping up everywhere. So I'm concerned that this may just be, you know, somebody just opened a can of worms.
I'm glad. I'm glad the can of worms was opened. Because
me
what's
too, but
happen?
I don't think this is the only story we're going to hear is what I'm saying. I think that we're now other people are going to say, well, let me tell you about this one. So I think that this is now going to be kind of an ongoing story, don't you?
Yes, and I'm so thankful for the brave individuals who have come forward and been honest, and that includes, too, some of the coaches along the way who maybe in hindsight wish they had done more but didn't. I commend them for coming forward and being honest about what they did to provide safety, but also what they didn't do.
Right.
Because that kind of honesty really helps parents right now in a very real-time way to say, all right, these are the things I need to look out for. These are the things that are going on with my child now. Maybe I need to look at those differently and examine what's happening. And I hope every parent who is hearing this is looking at their child, looking at their child's coaches, and looking for behaviors that are wonderful behaviors that many, many coaches provide for young children. They have a desire to truly help young children. But then they're also able to see some other behaviors that are causing them questions, and they're able to protect their children.
Right.
So I'm glad this is being talked about publicly now.
Yeah, I am too, even though I have to tell you, it makes my stomach hurt. It genuinely makes my stomach hurt. But one of the questions I have always had about sexual abuse, and I think it's a fairly common question, and that is, why did it take so long to come forward? And I don't have any answers for that. I've always examined that question, and I don't know if there's an easy or simple answer. Surely there's not. But why do you suppose it just took so darn long for somebody to come forward? Because, I mean, the coach, Sandusky, was put back on the campus. I mean, he was, you know, let go, and then he was put right back on the campus, and why didn't somebody say something at the time? I guess that's my question.
Well, I think for, you know, a lot of things that happen in history, I think we look back and we see our development over time in understanding a significant issue. And sex abuse is one of those issues that 50 years ago we talked about very differently than how we publicly talk about it now.
Right.
And so, I think the information age is wonderful. I think there's great opportunity for children themselves who have questions. They can Google, they can go on the internet, they can find information. And I think parents might be a little behind the ball as far as educating them as to what they need to look for to protect their children. I think there's a resurgence now where parents are protecting their children, which is, you know, an old antiquated value, but it's applied in a very new way. And,
well, I think it doesn't occur to parents that their children are going to be victimized. I mean, you look at your beautiful little children, they're happy, they're smiling, they're playing ball, they're yelling at each other, you know, they're biting the cat's tail. You just don't, in the normal course of the day, think, well, somebody's going to rape my child tomorrow. It just doesn't occur.
Exactly. Well, and we need to consider something, too. There's something else that we're still kind of on the learning curve about, and I don't think we've done a great job in supporting our boys and young men who have been victimized in this way. You know, they still, young men and boys still have a more difficult time reporting and talking openly about sex abuse.
And I would think so. Yeah.
Especially if their abuser is male. And when we look at this within the sports context, the sports environment, there are the added stigmas of appearing to be gay. Or what can be more debilitating is appearing to be weak if somebody knows about this.
Right.
So
right.
If you're dealing with those added stigmas, and they are stigmas, there's no reason for any young person to be quiet about this horrible situation happening. But these are some added pressures for athletes, especially who are male, that they will feel, and oftentimes that can make a difference as to whether they come forward or they decide to keep quiet.
Oh my goodness. Well, where can people find you? I mean, I know you have your book coming out. Where can people find you on the web if they want to chat with you or just follow along to see what it is that you're talking about?
Well, thank you. Anybody can reach me at CarlaLundblad.com. It is a complicated last name. It's LUNDBLADE. And my email is there. You can reach me there. You can call me there, Carla@CarlaLundblad.com.
Okay, so thank you. Now let's jump back to Michael Jackson. Poor guy. I mean, very talented guy, very disturbing stories over the years. Who knows if they were true? How could he have been helped by knowing what you now know?
You know, that's a really great question because, again, as a clinical therapist, I look over the course of his career, different developmental stages, kind of what's happened to the core of his family, the core of his support system as his life progressed and ended in a tragic way. So I think Michael Jackson's life presents a very interesting study over the long term of a career as to what can potentially go wrong with a young person who has a gift. You know, when I analyzed the last parts of his life, what has been a common theme are people who genuinely cared about Michael Jackson as the individual and the individual person eventually had no power in helping to protect him and prevent some of the life choices he was making at the end of his career. None of us will know, because we don't have the story as to the ultimate reasons why he made the choices towards the end of his life that he did. But what we do know is that at no time was anybody within the psychology field ever asked to come in and assist with managing the lifestyle.
Nobody?
That I'm aware of at this point.
Well, I thought that one time Dr. Phil, perhaps? Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but it seemed to me like he got, well, maybe that was the little blonde girl. You can see I'm a real celebrity watcher. I don't know. I don't know much about what's going on. She's from Louisiana. That's all I know, whatever her name is. And you said something a minute ago that's very interesting, that, you know, the psychology study of Michael Jackson. I would suspect that he is going to be a focus of many studies going forward, don't you think?
His story illuminates almost all of the pitfalls that can happen to a celebrity, a public person throughout their life. You know, regardless of what the true facts at each particular juncture of his life were, it's a very fascinating study, and it's a very wonderful study for people moving forward to make some proactive choices to not maybe begin that downward spiral. And that downward spiral for celebrities is a pretty common spiral. And we must always remember that there is a wonderful individual behind each celebrity persona that we see, and that individual is unique. And their traumas are unique, and their accomplishments and the wonderful things that happen in their life are unique. And that person needs to be supported, as well as their public persona needs to be supported and promoted. The person inside definitely needs that same promotion. And that's what
that's needed for everybody, whether you're a celebrity or not. But it seemed to me, the little I know of Michael Jackson, is that he wasn't supported, he was exploited. I mean, just the things that happened to this poor guy were just stomach-churning.
Well, you know, one of the tips I talk about in the Lundblad 10 is that Don't use coaches and family members to manage your business, manage your finances.
No kidding.
There's a couple of reasons for that. Number
one, I don't ever hire family. I don't rent a family. I exchange Christmas cards. We're good. And don't hire family, for crying out loud.
Well, there's two important reasons for that. One is they're not going to be qualified to make the best decisions. And statistically, one out of every 30 financial decisions will be successful. That means for everybody everywhere making financial decisions, 29 out of 30 financial decisions they make will not be a money-making decision. They will lose money in. Those are just some general
crap. Excuse the language. You just ruined my day. Although I kind of already knew that. I just didn't know it was a statistic.
I really did not know that.
That's interesting.
Yes. And there's a second, I think, more important reason, and that is keeping your family and friends as family and friends.
Right.
They stay emotionally connected to you as the person, and it's very important to have a core group of people around you who care about you as the person.
Right.
And if you've got people around you who care about you as a person but also care about you as a persona, as a celebrity, those lines can be blurred. And those people need to stay close to you and keep you protected to not only help advise you on making career decisions, but if you get into some emotional trouble, which we all do, we're all human, there's the potential that we're going to, you know, make some decisions in our life that are not in our best interest, that you have a core group of people around you that are also protecting who you are as an individual.
Right.
And when you bring family into the business side, oftentimes that will end poorly. There will be broken relationships. So now you've lost, you know, in the business sense, but more importantly, you've lost in the personal sense. And
right.
that's a loss that you can't handle over the length of your career.
Wasn't it Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone? Wasn't he the one that divorced his family?
There have been a few cases of that. And you know, I think there's...
Millions disappeared, and he divorced them, and it was really... I don't know much of the story, but I remember thinking, oh, gosh. I mean, he lost his money, and he lost his family. What a shame.
Right. Well, there's plenty of evidence out there to suggest that maybe this added coaching that I provide in a career and in a personal way may be beneficial to some. So,
I would think so. Because, again, it's not something that these kids are going to be taught in the normal course of events. It's a very different, their expectations are very different of them. Their lifestyles are very different from, you know, the average teenage child or even, you know, younger child who gets into the celebrity lifestyle somehow. It's just they're now, I would think, somewhat isolated. They're just on different paths than the rest of us, and they can't be taught the same way, I wouldn't think. You know, they can't be taught the same types of things that normal kids are learning. They need to be taught specifically how to navigate their very different world.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point. And, you know, I think there needs to be a shift in thinking, too, that the celebrity is one aspect of who this individual is, and then there's the personal individual. And both of those need to be coached well. And need to be managed well, and need to be managed for the long term. And I think maybe to this point, there hasn't been the focus on developing the individual behind the persona.
Right.
Especially when we look at child stars. There's a whole host of coaches brought in to help with the creative gift and to help with becoming a celebrity and managing that lifestyle. But it's almost unheard of for a coach to be brought in to help with well-rounding, balancing between the personal and the public, and creating a normal development, helping to educate parents how to create the best opportunities for their children. Because parents now are doing the best they know, you know, with what they have.
I think you hit on something there. I mean, I think it's so important that these children are taught to navigate their very special world, but the world that the rest of us inhabit as well.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't seem to me that, you know, just a little bit I know, it just doesn't seem to me that that is what's happening. You know, these kids are kind of just I mean, they're on a wild ride, and I bet in the beginning they're having a good time. But I would think, Carlin, you know me much better than I do, but don't they become fairly isolated quickly?
Well, celebrity is an isolating event in someone's life.
Right.
I've talked about before, there are certain human conditions that we all have, regardless of who we are. And, you know, most of us require being part of a group. And
mm-hmm.
we are dependent on other people, what other people think, especially when we're younger. In fact, our brains are designed. Our brains don't fully develop until we're 25. So that means when we're younger than that, we are especially impressionable to what others think, what others know, and learning from others. So when you look at that as a human condition, and then you look at celebrity, celebrity is naturally isolating. And
mm-hmm.
I think people from the outside look at it as, oh, how lucky can you be that this has happened to you? But from the inside looking out, it can be a very isolating, very lonely lifestyle. And I think it's time we realize that and also shore up the individuals so that they can have a very quality life, quality family, quality career. And those individuals do wonderful things for others in really wonderful ways.
I know next year you're going to be speaking at a number of Hollywood professional schools, and I think that's kind of in keeping with what we're talking about right now. Can you share a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at these schools and how you're going to be helping some of these, I guess they're children, or are they adults?
Well, thank you for asking. Both, maybe in between.
Okay.
Children,
spectrum.
Adults, and in between. I'm beginning a foundation. It's called the Lumblade Foundation, and it really is because this information is so critical for young people and their parents to help create a really great life and to avoid these pitfalls. You know, one of the things that happens to gifted individuals who are successful early on is unethical people are drawn to them.
Oh, no kidding.
They know they're
unsophisticated. We see that all the time.
Right. We know that they're unsophisticated. Well, these unethical people, you know, when you're looking at an unethical coach and you know, what we're seeing at Penn State, these people can be very persuasive and very manipulative. And so they're very good at isolating that individual from the core of family and friends who care about them.
Mm.
And this process happens very early on, especially for young people, because they are so susceptible. Their brains are wired to be susceptible to what other people think and caring about that and being accepted. So I'm providing education early, you know, under a nonprofit umbrella to help young people truly you know, come into their gifts and really understand the realities of the business. And I think initially when I started talking about working with younger people about their careers, the thought was, well, you know, they're not going to find that information interesting or helpful. In actuality, they suffer privately with questions that this information
mm-hmm.
answers. So it's very proactive, it's very educational, it's very warmly received, and I really enjoy doing this work. I really do.
Well, do you mind sharing a little bit about your foundation? Because I have to tell you, I am delighted to hear that you're doing this. Because, I mean, this is a huge problem for young adults, for children, for their families. I mean, it's a massive, massive problem as we're seeing more and more. So what does the foundation look like? How will it help people? And how can they find it?
Well, the place... we're doing a huge launch in January of the book and the foundation and the mission statement and the direction. You know, I've had some really great meetings with some really wonderful parents. I've met with some parents whose children have suffered sexual abuse in the coaching mm-hmm. environment and that are starting wonderful foundations to help educate parents on how to look for these particular things. My foundation is going to be educational for, you know, training people for a career, training
mm-hmm.
people for being an individual, and maybe for looking at some of the pitfalls that can happen early on in a career.
Right.
Being a clinical therapist, one of the things that's really important in our profession is that we have appropriate resources. And so what's equally important to me is that I have the appropriate resources to recommend other really great professionals to help with some individual issues that I may not cover. And, you know, that also has to do with financial issues, you know, sometimes geographic areas of concern, and they need to find a professional close to home. So
mm-hmm.
my focus is going to be on resources, proactive and early education.
Great. Can you come back in January when you've launched the book?
I will be tired.
Please, please.
But yes, I will have coffee too.
Yeah. No, I would love for you to come back and share more about how it's all working and, you know, where people can find you and some of the resources and just, you know, give us an update.
Well, you know, normally there's so much positive in the work that I'm able to do, and there's so much happiness and warmth and fun. You know, unfortunately today we've had to talk about a very difficult, yeah. dark side of this business, sports and celebrity. And I appreciate having the forum to do that. And I'm just happy to help in that way, in whatever way I can.
Well, I think the work you're doing is marvelous. I really do. I mean, and it's not something that you just see in, you know, with sports and celebrity. I mean, these are things that happen to all people. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, something can, like this can happen to you. And it's just good to know that there are resources, and parents and children don't have to suffer alone, and, you know, that they can find some help and find some answers and find a way out of the darkness.
That's beautiful. Nobody has to suffer.
No, no. You know, somebody, I remember having a conversation with one of my clients who's very, very well known in the NFL, and we were talking about this Penn State thing, and he was telling me that, in confidence, and I'm not going to tell you anything about who it was, but, you know, that this person had been sexually abused as a child. It turned out it was a woman, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her, he said, well, how do you feel about that? She said, it wasn't my fault, it was his, which I thought was enormously healthy. Her, you know, this lady knew and understood that it wasn't her issue, it was the abuser's issue, that it had really nothing much to do with her, that he was a bad guy and she wasn't. And I thought, good for her.
That's wonderful. And
yeah,
I think
good for her.
Especially teenagers take on this idea that they were somewhat responsible. And if
yeah,
I can get one message out, no matter the circumstances, no matter any circumstance at all, it is never appropriate and never okay for an adult to have sexual contact with a child, period.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
The age of legal consent is 18. So at any time before that, if that happens, that person under 18 is never at fault. And if I can get that message out, that's the biggest message I want to get out today.
I agree with you. And it's just, how do you help these kids to understand that it's really not about them? It's not that they did something wrong. It's not that they invited it. It's not that they even actively participated in it. Some sicko got hold of them. It's pretty much that simple in my mind.
Absolutely. And we talk with them. We talk openly. We give the control back to that person.
Right.
And, you know, you move forward from there. But if we can impart information in a proactive, educational way, when they come up on a situation like that, they will be armed in a better way to make different choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what education's all about. And now
absolutely.
Unfortunately, it is in an open forum that is going to help many, many children.
It has to. I mean, I think the more that we examine these cases and the more that people understand that there are choices that can be made, and that the child can say, Mom, Dad, I'm a little uncomfortable around this guy. I think that's what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Carla, thank you so much. Tell people one more time where they can find you on the Internet.
CarlaLundblade.com, LundBlade.
And on Facebook. You've got some great pictures on Facebook. I was thinking that you were... I know we're running out of time, but I was looking at some of the things that you're doing with a couple of camps, and there was just, and I think that how, what is that, the Extreme Makeover, you're involved in that somehow. It looked like you were having a ball.
Well, life is fun. Life past tragedy and life past trauma is also fun. And, you know, the tough work needs to be done, but the fun work also needs to be done. And that's truly what provides balance. You know, it's not easy to be a clinical therapist and, you know, personally help individuals through these very dark times. But I'm very honored and very humbly honored to help in that way. And we have some fun, too. So.
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, you really just, life, here's my attitude about life. Life is what it is every day, and you just make the absolute best of it every day, but you make sure that the next day you're at least 1% better than you were the day before.
I like that, effective goal setting.
Yeah, and I'm not going for 100%. I'm going for 1% because I can manage that. You know, I'm managing my expectations, too. Well, Carla, thank you so, so much. And I look forward to having you back in January or early February, whatever your schedule will permit. And thank you so much for giving some great, great advice to, you know, parents of young athletes or people who are athletes, just anybody who is listening to this show. And the rest of us can take away a lot from it as well. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Carla Lemblade wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I particularly want to tell our veterans, thank you for the service to our country. I am deeply appreciative of all that you do for us. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Talk to you later.